Voice at the Table provides practical information to ensure people with a cognitive disability have a real and equal voice on boards, committees, and advisory groups. We do this by providing training for people with an acquired brain injury or intellectual disability and through a peer-led monthly meetup. We educate organisations and government departments to use inclusive meeting practices by providing training and resources. But most importantly, VAT tries to make the world a place where everyone is equal and can participate by being given supports they need to contribute the way they want. Our board is disability-led, and our resources and training are co-produced and facilitated by people with a disability. Come check us out, voiceatthetable.com.au.
We gather together today on this special place to continue our learning journey together. We acknowledge the Woi Wurrung and Boom Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation as the traditional custodians of this land and waters of the place where we are recording this podcast, and this suffering had not been treated. We acknowledge and pay respect to the elders past and present and emerging. We also pay respect to the First Nations who are listening.
We remember the self-advocates who have worked really, really hard over the years for the right for themselves and other people with disabilities to live in the community and for equality and human rights for all.
Nothing about us without us.
VAT Chat.
Welcome to VAT Chat. Another episode and another amazing, amazing person. Today we have the especially amazing Becky. Beck is a self-advocate, obviously, but also an absolute gun at setting up things and organising people and all that sort of stuff. To start off with, let's hear from you, Becky. How do you describe yourself?
My name is Becca Rosebill. I am a disability self-advocate. I have been a disability advocate for over 10 years. I first got into self-advocacy through a day service called Coowinda, and we had like these people from Valid come down to talk to myself and a few others at a day service and talking about starting up a self-advocacy group. And then we said yes to all that, and then we started just a little network, self-advocacy network, down in Warrnambool, which is about 2.5 hours from Melbourne. And it was only just a handful of us. It was only like, I think, if my memory corrects me, maybe at 40. And then over the years, that grew into hundreds now. So, and basically our group meets up twice a month in different locations: Hamilton, Terang, Warrnambool. And we're all passionate about having our voices heard. We talk about inclusion. We talk about transport, which is one of our biggest issues here in Warrnambool, because the train that goes from Melbourne to Warrnambool is pretty much non-accessible. And we've been fighting for the last 8 years or more trying to get a better train, accessible train for Warrnambool. So, yeah. And apart from that, after, like, I've done a few other things as well besides just doing that. I also work with SARU based in Melbourne, and that kicked off from being the representative for all abilities. So I've been working with SARU for the last 8 years, and I've been on several of their projects. One of them was the Australian Self-Advocacy Project. Another one was the Voice at the Table, I was one of the very first guinea pigs for that when it first came out. And then also that led on to working with Women with Disability, which I ended up doing a course with them, which was another leadership program for women with disabilities. And also I've been also part of the NDIS lobby group, which I'm still a part of. And that group, I think, usually meets up before COVID, was meeting up 23 times a month, spread them off. So, and we'd have a talk to CEO about having funding for self-advocacy groups and having some funding also for projects for self-advocacy groups as well. So I've been on part of that board for the last 5 years. And then there's been just other little projects in between that I've been a part of. Also a part of Reinforce. I've been a member with them for about, I don't know, the same time, 8 years. And I'm also on the Victorian Self-Advocacy Group, which is, again, we meet up probably, once a month. So, yeah. And I think that's basically it, Warren. So, yeah, that I could think of.
Oh, I wouldn't say basically. That's quite a lot.
But yeah, I'm also the peer worker for The Voice at the Table. So I help organise meetings. My role is to make sure that everyone gets in contact, know when the meetings are, help do the flyers, help make the agenda up, and also contact texting as well, texting everyone prior, a day before the actual Zoom meeting, because we haven't done the face-to-face meetings for a while. I think since COVID's been run through Zoom. So, and I have a support worker there that helps me. Her name is Julie, so she helps me organise the meetings and make sure that everyone knows when it's on and that they're notified when the meeting is. So that meeting is once a month. And we have guest speakers that come along to that meeting. So our last guest speaker, I think, was Frank. He's a disability self-advocate, has been for years. So he was one of our guest speakers this month, and he just did an awesome talk about his life as an advocate, self-advocate, and all the work he's done over the years. And, yeah. And then yeah. Our next one is next month, and we've got COVID training. So, yeah, for our next month meeting.
So it's pretty full on.
Yeah, it is.
That's only like the work aspect of your life, isn't it?
It is. And plus I'm also the media person for SARU Facebook page. So I help post up articles on their page, on SARU Facebook page. So, yeah.
I don't know where you find all this time, Becky. You're just amazing in my eyes.
Thank you.
You're listening to VAT Chat.
You've been going to a personal trainer.
Yes, I have a personal trainer because I've been what happened was I put on a lot of weight after just before my stepdad passed away from an ankle surgery. And so I had to do a lot of changing because when it sort of hit home because my health was going really downhill. I had ankle and foot pain, my back. I also had back pain. I could hardly walk. I struggled breathing because I was also a smoker as well and a drinker. So it really impacted my health. So I went on this, I suppose what they call a health journey, health-wise journey, and for the last 3 years I've just been working myself. I have been smoke-free for 2 years. I mean, I haven't drank an alcohol within 2 years as well. So, and I feel a lot better for it.
So, yeah, that's, I must admit, the giving up smoking was the best decision I ever made as well.
It was hard, but I had to do it. It was because it was impacting my breathing, literally. I was struggling to breathe. Even just walk down the street, I was like, I couldn't hardly breathe. I could probably go get to the corner and that'd be it. Then I had to walk all the way back home because I struggled and literally, and it was a wake-up call. I lost my uncle to cancer, both my uncles to cancer, and it just gave me this huge wake-up call that I had to change my life. It was either change it now or be probably dead by the time I'm in my 40s. And, yeah, and now I'm 41. And so, yeah. And
not
I'm,
dead.
I feel way better for it. Like I connect, I do skateboarding. So I do a bit of skateboarding with a support worker. I also do roller skating on a Sunday. That's in Warrnambool. So I travel on a train to Warrnambool to do roller skating. I'm also doing a bike ride for cancer. So that starts in April. My link to that page, if anyone wants to sponsor me, is on my Facebook page. So, and I'm going to ride each day to help raise funds for Peter Mac. So I'm doing this ride for all those who are fighting cancer, but also for my mum who was diagnosed 2 years ago with lymphoma, low-grade lymphoma. She's now in remission, has been for last, she's obviously nearly 3 years now, or two years in remission. So yeah. She also went from having a lymphoma to having a pacemaker put in her. So I'm doing it for her, and I'm doing it for all those who are fighting cancer and all those who are passed on by cancer. So yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And something I think all of us should be supporting. So we'll pop those links onto our VAT chat page so you can find the spot to go and donate.
Thank you, Warren. Thank you so much. Every cent counts. So, yeah.
Yeah. And even if Becky's campaign is finished by the time you hear this, just go on that page anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure there'll be links from that page to update donations and things like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you, Warren.
Every little bit helps.
It does. It does. So the rice are happy in April and it goes through to May. So, yeah. I'm starting training this week on it. So, yeah.
But that's not all you do. You do horse riding?
Yes, horse riding. Yes. So I do I do horse riding. I do vaulting, which is like gymnastics, but it's on an actual moving horse. So I do the training on a barrel, and then I take those moves onto a horse called Banjo. And I hope to be, last year I was meant to go into the Australian vaulting competitions, but due to COVID it was cancelled. So I'm hoping to do it this year to enter in this year to the vaulting competitions. And and I have a lady who Sharon, she runs it for all abilities, for all people with different types of disabilities. And then they can either do the vaulting on a horse or they can do on a barrel. But when I go into the competitions, I'll be doing both. So yeah.
Wow. That sounds amazing. And I keep using that word amazing, but I think it's probably the most appropriate word for you, Meg.
Yes.
You amaze me with your energy and the scope of how many different things you do.
Yes, and that all sort of comes in from my weight loss journey. So, and quitting smoking I've got so much energy because of that. So, I also do super camp, which is like a boot camp on a Wednesday night. I do that every Wednesday night for an hour with a group of people in Camperdown, and that really gets your heart racing. So, but it's really energizing. And that also involves boxing. So we do a bit of boxing at the end of it, and that's really fun. And then on a Thursday night, I do karate. I'm doing karate now, so I'm doing a bit of karate training now, which is really fun too. So yeah.
Oh wow. When do you get time just to sit and relax?
Hardly ever. Pretty much on the weekends I do. Weekends I make time for myself. So, and then I also have my music teacher that I have come in on a Friday, every second Friday. We play tunes on the guitar together and sing songs. So that's on a every second Friday with Gary. So, yeah.
You can find out more, voiceatthetable.com.au.
Being so busy, it makes me wonder how you got into everything in, to begin with. And you and I talked a few times over the years, and you've said about the journey with all abilities, and I think that's an absolutely fascinating journey. And so maybe if we could go back to the start before all abilities was all abilities.
So yeah, so before all abilities was all abilities, it was classed as Southwest Self-Advocacy, but we had to change the name due to the fact that there's already an agency called Southwest Advocacy. And so Kylie came to this idea, who's our facilitator, came up with some names, and then got the guys to pick out what name they wanted. So at first, before we came abilities, we were a network group, Self-Advocacy Network Group. So that was the first name picked out. And then I think about 2 or 3 years later, we had to change again because the fact is that it was too long. The name was too long because it was only Southwest Self-Advocacy Network Group, and everyone felt that was a little bit too long. So then Kylie came up with a few other names, and one of them was the All Abilities, and everyone picked the All Abilities because it just made sense, and it was just wasn't as long. So, and you can find us on Facebook, All Abilities Advocacy. And then underneath it, it's got Keeping Self-Advocacy Stronger. So as underneath it, but it's underneath, if you just type in All Abilities Advocacy, you'll find the group there, and then you can just join up. And we've done a heap of different projects over the years. One of them was the Dangerous Deeds exhibition, which Sari had a huge hand in that, organising that and getting the videos down to Warrnambool. That exhibition ran over four days, I think it might have been, or might have been five, and we had a number of people come down for it. We had also guest speakers. We had Reinforce come down. They came down and they did a bit of speaking at one of the workshops. We had also Brain Injury Matters guys come down and do a talk as well. We had a workshop where the guys just came in and they did dream catchers, made up some dream catchers, and then had them displayed at the art museum. And then at the final night, they had a huge night. They had the artwork that the guys drew reflected on to the theatre, the Lighthouse Theatre, and also had live music as well. And it was a fantastic night. So yeah, thousands of people turned up for it. And so yeah, we've also had forums. We've had a lot of forums from the help of Saru. So one of the forums was Why Self-Advocacy Matters. Other ones where forums that we've had over the years is the transport one. There's transport, Why Self-Advocacy Matters, Dangerous Deeds, and now just the last nearly probably four years. The biggest project that the group has ever had is the Find Your Voice All Ability Choir. So, yeah, and that's been going roughly around 4 years now. And that's made up of all types of abilities, all sexualities, and it's literally huge. Like there's over 300 people in the choir.
Wow. 300 in one choir.
Like yes,
the choir of Hard Knocks.
Oh yes, it's that. And they actually played live at the folk festival this weekend. It's gone. So yeah.
Yep. Down at Port Ferry Folk Festival.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've been down to that festival a few times over the years.
Wow. And also they were on Australian. They also were on Australian Got Talent So that, yeah, still floats around Facebook a little bit, but yeah.
You're listening to Vat Chat.
I want to talk about the work that you've been doing on the train.
And the work. Fact
that there's no accessible train.
Exactly. It is accessible, but I wouldn't call it exactly accessible because the carriage itself is that older. It's a disability accessible carriage, but it's very older. And the problem is half the time it's never on the actual train. And people have to ring up and ensure that's on there. And a lot of the times, if you're from Warrnambool, a lot of people that are basically in wheelchairs are being forced to take taxis to where they're going because half time is never on, or they can't get it on, or something, or it's broken down. So they've been told they had to take a taxi to where they're going. And this has been an ongoing issue for a very long time. Literally, and we're still campaigning for that. We're still out there campaigning, trying to, get accessible training for all. So yeah, it's been a long uphill battle, but yeah.
So could you talk us through what actions have happened in that campaign?
We've joined up with what's that called? I've got to think of the group that we got involved with. I can't think of what they're called now, honestly. the class is disability rights singer, and they're based in Melbourne, and they helped create a campaign for us online during COVID time, and involved everyone talking about what it was like not having accessible, imagining a life without the world without accessible transport for people, how a lot of people feel like they're locked out, like because they can't go nowhere. So that story, that they helped us create that online campaign. And we're still fighting for accessible transport. So yeah, there's been others. We were meant to do a protest at one point where this choir would get together and sing a song in front of the train and actually stop the train from going to Melbourne. That was the idea. So yeah. And but that sort of got cancelled because of COVID. And there's been we've written to the government, we've written to the transport in Melbourne, and it's just like literally hitting a brick wall. You know, they don't really want to listen. It's like, yeah. So, but we like I said, we're still out there. We're still fighting, and yeah, we just hope that one day the government will actually listen to us and realize that, what we have is just, it's just ridiculous. I mean, people in wheelchairs forced to take taxis to go to Melbourne. They don't get a chance to go on a train, and only because sometimes the excuses they get is that it's broken down, and there's only like two disabled carriages for the Warrnambool train, and that's it. It's just, yeah.
Makes absolutely no sense to me.
No, and it doesn't. And like I said, and then Warrnambool, the Torts and Warrnambool's train station. We had two ladies come to a conference. It was called the Transport Conference Forum in Warrnambool. One of them wanted to go to the toilet, and she couldn't even go to the toilet because her scooter couldn't get in the disabled toilets.
I have this, like, every time, like, I'm an artist and I do art things and involves dealing with galleries and things like that.
Yeah.
And I've been working quite hard trying to develop a list of accessible venues.
Yeah.
And they almost all fall down on that one aspect.
Yeah.
The toilet isn't fully accessible. The door's not wide enough.
Yeah, that's it.
The toilet inside is quite nice and it's quite roomy.
Yeah.
You can't get into it.
Exactly. But actually with our Warrnambool train station, it's not actually the door, it's actually getting into what a torts are. Like the aisle is like this.
Yeah.
And a disability torts right down near the end. So you got two doors, you got one door you come through, and then you got another door you got to get through, and then you got this like little hall about this bigger, and then this old toilet's just down near the end, and you couldn't get a wheelchair in there, you couldn't get even walk in there. It's just that small. Is that like that? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how they came to that decision to begin with to put it there.
Exactly. I mean, the disabled toilets have just now fixed up the toilets down in Camperdown train stations, and now there's three disabled toilets in Camperdown train station. But that took a lot of people coming together again, complaining about how bad it was. They only had two at once, and then now like there's three or four disabled toilets. So yeah, and it's quite wide. It is quite wide and easy getting. But there was a talk from a lady on Facebook. She said the flooring was an issue with her walker. So something about the floor, tiles or something, were a bit.
They can be quite slippery.
Mm.
And especially if they're using tiles.
Yeah, I think it was something to the floor. I don't know, there's not actually tiles, but something about the floor, she said, was unstable.
I know. Sometimes with my walking stick that it slips.
Yeah.
On the wet tiles. It can be quite dangerous. So if you're reliant on a walker and you go into some of those older toilets, you're going to be so aware and so careful of how you move and where you put your walker.
Exactly, yeah. And we also now got a disability toilet, an accessible toilet down in the park, Apex Park, which took, again, a lot of people complaining about not enough accessibility toilets in Camperdown alone. So, yeah, which is really good. So the only thing I'm not happy is that it's already been vandalised by probably kids that have gone in there and literally vandalised it. It's been the toilet was blocked up. The little soap dispenser was ripped out. The tap, the sink was plugged up. And I was like, what kind of person does that? Vandalizes something like that, you know?
And so that comes back to that sort of argument of trying to get a bit more disability awareness training.
Yes. Yes.
Throughout
definitely
society. So
yeah. That's looking the thing
at trying to get it more into the schools.
Mm. And that's that's what our all ability groups does. Our all ability advocacy group builds awareness, tries to build awareness by running forums, running exhibitions to make people aware of disabilities and rights and accessible, making everything accessible. So I'm actually like, I love living in Canberra because I always feel welcome in everything I do. So with the karate, they understand I have a disability. They understand that it may take me longer to keep the moves going. Some of the moves that I have to do, it takes me a little longer to sort of process everything and to understand it all. They make me feel welcome and they have an understanding of my disability, which is really good. And same with Slipper Camp. The guys there are just fantastic. They're wonderful to be around with and they make me feel such welcome welcome into the group and then make me feel so, that they understand that I have a disability. And again, it's the same thing. They know it might take longer to do stuff, but this is a really welcoming, friendly environment with both the classes I do. And I've got a town that literally has taken years, but they're finally accepting my disability.
Nothing about us without us. Vat Chat.
Thanks to all the Vat Chat team who contributed today. Our presenter and producer, Warren Laurel. Our audio director and composer, Dan Sullivan. And a special thanks to Beck Biddle for sharing her story today.
Vat Chat podcast is part of the Voice at the Table training, voiceatthetable.com.au.